I'd like you to turn in the Bible to the book of Exodus, and we're going to go back to Exodus chapter 20 where we were talking last week, and I want to look at a different part of this command that is often not looked at maybe as much as the first part of it. So in this commandment, the fourth commandment, it says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. But what I want us to focus on today is verse 9 here, which says, 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. That also is part of the commandment, to labor and to do all your work. And what I want us to look at today is how important this is and how necessary it is and how God made it this way right from the beginning. So I'd like to go back to the book of Genesis, chapter 1. We were speaking again about this last week in Genesis chapter 1. In verse 31, it says, God saw everything he had made, and indeed it was very good. This is Genesis 1:31. Everything he made was very good. He had it all set, put it all together. It all was right. And then you drop down in chapter 2 here, when it talks about how he made everything, he blessed the seventh day in verses 1 to 3, and then it talks about how he did things and how he was watering the garden and the mist was coming up from the earth and watering the whole face of the ground and how he made everything to grow. And then notice in verse 15, it said that the Lord took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and keep it. Now, it was God who planted this garden, as it says in verse 8. The Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he formed. And verse 15 again says, so the Lord God, Yahweh God, took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and keep it. Now, I think this is really important instruction because he just made everything, and he said it was very good. It was all very good, but yet he planted man in the garden that he had planted, and he put him there to tend and keep it. Now, we don't usually use a phrase like tend and keep today, but basically it means to take care of it, to cultivate it, to work it. In other words, God put the man there to say, care about this and be responsible for this area. And this was before the fall of man. This was before he had taken of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. God had already put him there to work it. Now, if you've ever spent time working in the garden, like Pat and Donna, who I'm looking at right now, you know that even in the best of what a garden is, things tend to grow, and there's a need for care and shaping. You don't need weeds to be the problem. Just the growth that takes place in plants and trees, they need shaping. My wife is a really good shaper of trees. She takes trees that look a little wild, and she knows how to work them and make them look really nice again. And sometimes things get grown out of balance, and things need care and shaping. And it's so elementary that we see this and understand in the commandment when God said, 6 days you shall work and do all your labor, that this is part of why we're here, what we're learning about life. God is teaching us very essential things that are part of his character, part of his knowledge base of who he is, and he's opening up to us by planting a garden saying, here, now you take care of it. Because isn't that kind of what happens every time you're given something? Bloop, you came out of the womb, right? Your parents got the little gift that was you. What did that mean? Lots of responsibility, right? If that little baby that was you needed to eat, right, Elijah? Somebody had to feed you, right? Somebody had to change your diaper. Somebody had to wash you. Every great gift really has responsibility. You get married, wow, it's so wonderful. You know, you and your girlfriend or boyfriend, you get married, but now you got responsibility. You got to tend and keep, right? You have responsibilities to each other, commitments to each other. You get a job. Woo, I get to make money. Yeah, but you've got a responsibility for that money. They're not going to keep paying you if you don't do your job. And this is a part of life, and this is a part of the way things work, that even in the best of situations, even when everything is good, there is still a necessity for maintenance, for care, for taking responsibility to make things better. And so this is one of the beautiful laws that God has shown us and revealed to us, that there is a necessity for care. And when you think about who he is, God is love, the very essence of that means he cares. He considers. He works to make things good. He blesses. He transforms. He changes. He creates. He is actively engaged. And for us to really understand the heart and character of God, we need to understand how important this engagement in life really is. And it is something that is essential, and it's something that we read about even in the Ten Commandments. Turn with me, if you would, over to Proverbs chapter 24. I love these verses. Proverbs chapter 24. And notice with me in Proverbs chapter 24, and we're going to pick this up in verse 30. He says, I went by the field of the lazy man, and by the vineyard of the man devoid of understanding. And there it was, all overgrown with thorns. Its surface was covered with nettles. Its stone wall was broken down. And when I saw it, I considered it well. I looked on it and received instruction. Now, when you read these verses and you see this image, what is the instruction that you receive from it? What is this broken down wall telling you? Or the thorns or the nettles and things just being overgrown and covered with weeds, things that are unwanted, right, on the land. It happens, and he says, I took this, I considered it. Again, I considered it well, I looked on it and received instruction, verse 32. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of hands to rest, so shall your poverty come on you like a prowler and your need like an armed man. In other words, this is the way it works. Do you want to make things not good in your life? Do you know what you have to do to make things really just go wrong? Just do nothing. Do nothing. Don't do anything. I assure you, if you show up for work in the morning and you go to do your job and you just decide to do nothing, it's going to go wrong for you. You're not going to be very productive. You're not going to be getting very much done. The people who pay you are not going to be very happy, whether you're working for a boss or you have clients or whatever it is. Do nothing. Get up in the morning and do nothing. That's not going to go so well. I cut my hair this short to make it easy because I would rather more do nothing than something. But it's easy to manage, but for you ladies, I know it's not easy, right? You wake up in the morning, there's a lot of things that need to start being put back together, right? To make yourself all beautiful. And I'm not picking on the ladies, men. You could probably use a little more work and a little watching of the way the ladies do it. But things start to go wrong. You don't have to do anything. Just go to sleep at night and you wake up and eyebrows are out of place and hair's out of place and you're not as fragrant as you were after you showered the previous day. You know, things aren't as sweet. It just happens. You don't have to do anything. Decay happens. There's a law of, second law of thermodynamics is a law of entropy. And basically it says this, everything tends to disorder. Everything that's in order tends to disorder. Things that are warm tend to cool. Everything tries to go back to this natural state. And unless you're going to apply some outside energy to what's happening or intelligence or creativity, it's just going to get worse. And it's one of actually the realizations that you have of Almighty God. Things don't just order themselves without some kind of outside influence and energy. That's why, you know, there's a book I read in college, and I can't remember the book or the author I quoted to you, but there was a part of it that stuck with me. He said that it is more probable mathematically for a tornado to go through a junkyard and put together a fully functional 747 than it is for this planet and in this universe to even exist. There's so much system and function, we just accept that it is. But I mean, even when you look in your body, do you ever just think about the fact that I can see you? You can hear me, right? If we gave each other a hug, we could feel each other. We have these senses and we have the ability to take in food and digest it so that we're energized. We have the circulatory system and our respiratory system and our nervous system. We have all these wonderful things going on, and we just take it like it's just, oh, it just happened. No, it didn't just happen. We have a creator who basically formed man of the dust of the ground, breathed into him the breath of life. God affected change. He came into the physical and made something spectacular. And that spectacular is you. You are a unique creation of God, made in his image and likeness, and don't you let anybody tell you different. Because it's the word of truth. You were created in the image of God, in his likeness, and you are still being formed there today, spiritually, mentally, emotionally. God is developing you and changing you. And he's giving you the right to participate in this process. See, the earth kind of cooperates pretty easy with God. We less so because he gave us mind. He gave us will. He gave us thought. We can be like a lazy person or somebody who's not thinking about what happens. What happens if I never take care of my yard? Well, it's going to be covered in thorns and thorn bushes and weeds. What's going to happen to that wall? It's going to deteriorate. What's going to happen to my body? It's going to deteriorate. Everything in your life is in a state of deterioration. What changes it is the influence of energy and life you bring to it. So it doesn't take long. My business partner lives down in Poway, and when he moved here from Chicago, in his backyard, he had this beautiful view of this golf course in Poway, and it was gorgeous. Big, beautiful trees and beautiful greens and lovely fairways, and it was a great view from the backyard that he didn't have to pay for. I mean, he has all the people that were working that golf course take care of it. But there came a fight with the city because the golf course wasn't making money. A guy bought it, and what he wanted to do was make condos. And the city of Poway said, no, you're not. And what he did is say, okay, I'm going to stop taking care of this thing. And all of a sudden, all the houses that were all around this golf course now had dead trees, 6-foot-high weeds. Everything that was green is now brown. Dirt was showing where the little greens were. It was dusty. It was dirty. And guess what it brought? All kinds of critters and rodents and everything else that now was encroaching on all the houses that were around. And suddenly, all their maintenance went way up because of what was happening in this golf course that was left to die. And this happened years ago. Fortunately, now they're actually making moves. There's new ownership, and they're going to build things. But what was so amazing was how I could be at his house one day, and it was gorgeous. And after this happened, go back months later, and it was just a nightmare. It didn't take long for nature to reclaim it. All they really had to do was stop the water. And life is kind of that way. If you're not putting in the right things, if you're not feeding and watering, if you're not tending and keeping the things in your life, they will go to decay. And this can happen in your finances. This can happen in your physical body. This can happen to your mind. This can happen to your relationships. Because you've been given all these gifts of life. And what God is saying is, you have a responsibility. If you've gotten married, you've got a responsibility. If you have kids, you've got a responsibility. If you have a job, you've got a responsibility. The things that God has given you come with responsibility. And there's no getting around it. And it doesn't change. And don't ever think that you can get it set and it'll be perfect and it will always be that way. It doesn't work that way. Notice with me over in the book of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 10 and verse 18. In Ecclesiastes 10 and verse 18, it says this. Because of laziness, the building decays, and through idleness of hands, the house leaks. That's all it takes is do nothing. Because wear and tear takes place on everything over time. And if you don't repair the roof, you're going to have a house that leaks. If you don't build up the wall, it's going to fall down and crumble. You go to Rome, you go to Greece, you look at the ruins. They took these massive, massive stones and granite and these beautiful things, and they built amazing structures that you would think could last forever. And then you see areas that are lasting, which is amazing. But right next could be other areas that are completely broken down, where these huge blocks are just cracked and turning into dust and rubble. What did they do to make that happen? They just left it alone. if you have kids, if you have teenagers, you know that they can clean that room up. It can be spotless, and you can go back a couple hours later. It's a total mess. It's disaster. It's like, how did this happen? It just does. Wouldn't it be nice if you washed your car and you never had to do it again? Oh, yeah. Okay, everybody's in with me on that one. That's the best response I've had in years. Everybody knows, though, right? It's like you spend all this time, and you're like, and then I'm going to drive it, and it's going to get all dirty again. You can't ever get it to where it is. But somehow what we yearn for is, couldn't I just clean it and be done with it? Couldn't I just make my living room perfect and be done with it? Couldn't the house, the grass be cut and be perfect with it, done? Couldn't I just work in the garden really hard for one day and be done with it? It just doesn't work that way. No matter how much you wish it to be that way, no matter how much you would long for it, friends, this is not the way this universe works. If God gives you your own universe someday, maybe you can make a different law. But in this universe, the one that God put us in, you're going to have to do the work. So the work is required. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. It's part of what life is, and it's what we learn about what is actually happening. There is natural degradation in things that are not tended to. It's amazing how much we fight this reality humanly in our lives. We don't necessarily fight it in everything. Some of you are like the exercise junkies. Like, who's an exercise junkie? You're just exercising all the time. Yeah, one. Okay, great. Glad to meet you. Glad you're here. So we need a representation for that question. So I've never been that person. Now, last year, I had shocking realization. I got on the scale, and I'm like, this wall's broken down. There's a leak in my roof, and it's landing on the scale right there. And I hit a high weight in my life, and I'm like, I've been lazy about my body. I have not been taking care of me. I have done work instead of exercise. I have done ministry instead of eating right. I've done all these reasons, all these excuses. Guess what happens? Your body doesn't care. Your body doesn't care the other reasons why you're not taking care of it, because over time your body will say, well, obviously you're not taking care of me. And it becomes something that's bad. I couldn't hardly stretch past my knees. I was like unable to touch my toes. I was way overweight. I was not fitting any of my clothes. I was getting to the point where it's like, okay, enough's enough. And frankly, sometimes that is just the way it is in life. We don't make changes till the pain's bad enough. You would like to say that you would never let it get that far, and that would be my encouragement to you. But sometimes you just need to be slapped across the face. And when I saw that scale that day, I actually have a picture of it. I literally shared it with my wife again yesterday. I'm like, boom, look at that weight. I'm not telling you what it is, but I mean, unless you really want to know. But it's where I was embarrassed with me. You know, when you and yourself get on the scale and you're like, what are you doing? Like, that's not good. And so what did it take? I had to now start laboring and thinking about, I need to start exercising, like regularly. I need to start eating differently than I am today. I need to be more conscientious of what's going on. I need to tend and keep me. And everything started changing. I started losing weight. I started getting healthier. I could touch my toes again. I was experiencing changing. You know what's amazing? Was my body was ready for it. It was like, I'm tired of like not being limber, not being able to stretch, or not being able to exercise for an hour or more, whatever it was that I wanted to do. All of a sudden, the body, it resists hard at first. Like, what am I doing? And then it starts to let up and say, oh, he's taking control. And you know what happens? I was able to reshape my life. Now, what goes on there is not a mystery. Does everybody know how to be in good shape and in good health, generally speaking? I mean, as we live our life, we kind of know, right? I don't think we're suffering from a lack of knowledge as much as we are a lack of application. Look, if you eat whole foods that God created to be consumed, and you exercise your body and work it out, you're probably going to do pretty well health-wise. I mean, generally speaking. I mean, these are not laws to every specific, but generally this is how you live a healthier life. And I can attest to it myself. I was living unhealthy. I'm living healthier. I feel better. I have better energy. Everything is good in that. And we all kind of know the answer. But without the work, without the labor, without the application, it doesn't matter how much you know about dieting, how much you know about physical health, how much you know about exercising. It really doesn't matter. Knowledge is not enough. Labor must be applied. Who is it who is justified? Not he who is a hearer of the law, but a doer of the law. Faith without works is dead. Because if you don't actually apply it, it has no meaning. The faith that moves mountains, the faith that brings forgiveness of sins, the faith that brings everlasting life is an application in your life. And when we don't literally apply these things by faith and live by them, we might know Jesus saved us, but we won't experience it. We can know we should seek God, but if we don't actually seek him, we won't be near him. See, the offer is there. Now, I want to do a little test. And I know some of you don't like raising your hands, and that's okay. But I would ask you could make a one-time exception for me. Could everybody raise their right hand? Can you just tell yourself, hand go up, right hand. Hold them high. Let me see. Is there anybody not able to do that in this room right now? Okay, you can put your hands down. I asked you to do something, and you guys were able to do it. You can tell yourself what to do. Even for those of you who were hiding, and I couldn't see that you weren't raising your hand, you were telling yourself what to do too. You're saying, I'm not doing what David says. I'm looking back there at that back row. Yeah, I see you. I see you. The thing is, I can tell myself to raise my right hand. I can tell myself I'm going to exercise. I can tell myself I'm going to spend time seeking God. I can tell myself to do these things. One of the tricks is realizing you can tell yourself what to do. Do you realize that you've been given liberty by God to tell yourself what to do? You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. You don't have to be a slave any longer to sin and death. You actually can be a slave, as it says in Romans chapter 6, to obedience and righteousness. You don't actually have to keep going negative ways. Now, it doesn't happen easily. If you think you can be lazy and accomplish it, it doesn't work, because even God talks about the seeking of him in 2 Chronicles chapter 15 and verse 8 as a labor. He says, your work will be rewarded if you seek him. You will find him. Your work. You actually have to labor to say, right now I'm not sitting and watching TV. Right now I'm not getting on the internet. Right now I'm staying off Facebook or whatever it is that you like to do. Right now I'm going to spend time going into God's word and praying to him as I read, and I'm going to seek his face, and I'm going to listen for his voice. And when you do that, well, now you're drawing near to God. Now you're tending to your spirit. Now you're tending to your soul. Now you're building something in your relationship. Now, I think everybody in here basically knows that there are ways to seek God. And if you don't, please come see me, because I would love to help give you some guidance and how to do this in your own life. But if you know these things and you do them, guess what? You will get the fruit. Chris actually took me at my word a few weeks ago, and he spoke about it in the men's breakfast, that I gave a challenge, right, to take a verse that you feel like you're not living out at all in your life. And I said, read that verse and pray about it, right? And Chris said, he took the challenge, and he saw the fruit and the benefit of what's happening. Now, did Chris know that verse before? I believe he did. Did Chris need maybe just a little encouragement to take some action on it? Maybe he did. But the truth is, Chris labored in that verse, and it produced a fruit that he could then bear witness to, that it actually works. If you actually apply the word of God in your life, it actually works. Do you find it amazing that you have been given the power to work within God's word, to live by the Spirit, and you have the power to say yes or no to that? See, knowing the truth and having it set you free is not a matter of having the knowledge of it, it's the application. The truth sets you free as you live by it. If you know what the truth is and ignore it, or don't apply it, or don't labor in it, it doesn't help you. It's just like knowing how to lose weight and you never do the steps. Well, it's not going to work. It doesn't matter how well you know it. You could give whole speeches on it. It won't help you unless you actually put effort into it. God was telling us right from the beginning of creation that things need to have tending and keeping. We have to care about it and take responsibility for it. And where we do that, we can have success and blessing. And where we ignore it, we won't. So, where are you in your life today? See, this message would not be any good unless I ask you to challenge in your own heart, where's your leaky roof? Where's your wall torn down? Where are the weeds in your life that are growing and have just been ignored? It's part that is just there. Where are the boxes unpacked in your garage? Where are the things you just haven't gotten to? You see, I think we all, in some ways, have laziness in our lives. Maybe some of you don't. My wife, she's like super worker. She's actually been one of the best examples of labor of any person in my life. She is my hero in terms of work. She grew up in a very impoverished home, well below the poverty line. She lost everything when she was 9 years old in the Johnstown flood, left with no possessions, clothes on her back, that was it. Got moved into a trailer, a single wide, with two parents and six kids, and lived there throughout her years until she was able to basically get out after high school. No hot running water, so when she wanted to get cleaned up in the morning, she started with labor. She had to get the water and boil the water on the stove, and she had to set up using the shower that her dad created for her, take a bath. She actually had to labor even for hot water. And she was working a job from the age of 12. She was paying rent to her parents when she was a kid. These are things that taught her so much. And when I came into contact with her, I thought I was a pretty good worker. And then I realized, man, am I a lazy bum? Because compared to her, it's like, she wins. It's like we'd be sleeping and she'd be, bye, honey, I'm going to work. I was still in bed. She's going to work. I finally get up and go to work. And then we get home. And then, you know, she would just work tirelessly from morning till night. And she would seek the Lord. She would take care of me. She would take care of our house. She was on top of her relationship. She would write letters to people. I mean, I watched a woman constantly in labor, in doing work and things and applying it and trying to make our lives and the lives of others better. And she still does that to this day. It's a real testament to her to do it. But watching an example of that in my life, somebody I was living with, I realized, wow, life can be a lot better. And she went from, you know, living in a very impoverished state to saying not. In fact, one of the things that made me kind of fall in love with her was when I went and talked with her family, and they said, oh, that's Stephanie. She always gets on her high horse. And I was like, gets on her high horse? What do you mean by that? Well, she doesn't want to live like she's poor. Just because you're poor doesn't mean you can't do your dishes. Just because you're poor doesn't mean you can't keep a clean house. Just because you're poor doesn't mean that you can't live in a place that is clean and neat. And so she would get unhappy when she was doing her chores and all the chores of all her siblings because they wouldn't, and then the house just looked not like the way it was supposed to look. Actually, I think it was meant to be like a put-down. It actually was like, okay, I might be out of cleaning. But the point is that it's amazing to watch one who will work and labor toward good things to see it. And she's been a huge encouragement to me in my own life and in all the work that I've done to be there as a constant help and support. And you realize you can't do it without others. And we labor in each other's fields. We encourage one another by the things that we do, to be helpers of one another. we were created to fight back the natural tendency of decay and to bring energy and life into situations to help others and to improve our situations. And if you don't see that in this law, I would ask you just to think about what was God thinking then when he put him in the garden and said, tend and keep it. What was he thinking when he said, 6 days you shall work and do all your labor? There is productivity that comes. But notice what it takes to not. Notice in Proverbs, let's go to Proverbs 18 and verse 9. Proverbs 18 and verse 9. It says this, he who is slothful in his work is a brother to him who is a great destroyer. Now that really kind of clarifies everything we've been talking about, doesn't it? Just don't do your work very well and you will be brother to a great destroyer. Why? Because everything around you is tending to decay and all you need to do for everything to eventually decay, rot, entropy, is do nothing. How many of you have ever had a cast on your arm or leg for like weeks? Yeah. Was it weird when you took the cast off and you saw what happened to that part of your body? What happened, Chris? You're shaking your head, yes. It shrank. The skin wasn't in good shape. It's like, what happened? Yeah, what happened is you stopped using it. What happened was you weren't exercising it. What happened is you weren't doing normal things that would create health for that part of the body. So that body goes into disuse and all of a sudden, it's not where it's supposed to be. You realize no matter where we are today, we still need to be ready to go to work tomorrow and the next day. Success in life, whether it's in our personal relationships, in business, whether it's in the things that we're working on in the garden or whatever it is that we're doing, it is a matter of steps taken daily that add up over time. And what's amazing about tending or not tending, you don't see it right away. When you stop tending to your roof or your wall in your at your house, you can get away with it. Whether you're maintaining it or not maintaining it, it kind of looks the same. But what happens after a length of time? Well, I don't know why. When we bought this church, we had to replace the whole roof because it was leaking. It was put on years before, and through wear and tear, it just goes down. We had to fix it. Now, we haven't fixed it for a while, but when there were some things that were noted, we've done some repairs on it, even since we replaced the roof. And life is like that. If you are a person who thinks that you can settle working on things and they'll just be good and done, let's erase that here today. It's not about being done. There is no finish line with what we're talking about. It's about daily working toward good goals, daily working to care for and maintain the gifts that God has given to you in your life. You know, one of the biggest hurts that I think I did in my marriage to my wife was thinking that we would always have the friendship that we had. It was easy to rely on the friendship that we had in the past because when we started dating, we were in college, we could spend time together, ample time every day. We were both working, eating, and playing in the same playground, basically. This is where we were, at college together. And then when we got married, we were sharing an apartment together, but travel was taking us apart from each other. And then you had a heavy travel schedule that I had with having kids and her work, and we're spending less time working on friendship. And you know, we realized after a point in time, is like, we were relying so much on our friendship, and I was personally, this is on me, not her. I was relying so much on the friendship that we had, I wasn't concerned about the friendship we have or where our friendship was going. And it was a reality of life and starting to note, wait a minute, that's what you think? This is what what? And the disconnection, I started to see the leaks in the roof. The good thing about a leak in the roof is it usually happens before the whole roof caves in. So when you start to see leaks or things crumbling or breaking down, it's the warning system to you to say, you haven't been maintaining like you should. And this can happen in relationships with any family member, any loved one. It can happen in our work, in our physical health. There's the warning signs that say, you got to get moving. You've been relying on work you did, but now you need to apply effort here, or it's going to get worse. And if you apply no effort, if you're slothful in that work, well, then you're going to destroy it. And look at how relationships can be destroyed when they're not worked at. Look at how businesses can be destroyed when they're not worked at. Look at how life just says, if you don't work it, it won't happen, right? Pat and Don, if you don't work your garden next year and you just let it, whatever happens, happens, you're not going to get the same kind of produce that you're getting now. Weeds and gophers. Exactly. Because weeds and gophers will take over life if you don't apply intelligent labor to that garden. And it's not just the garden. It's just a great example God gave us of every aspect of our lives where God has given us gifts. So don't leave here today without asking yourself, where am I letting things break down? Because you can have a great run for a long time. And then if you're not tending, it will start to tend the other way. Some of us, we have these runs with God where we have a time where we're fasting, where we're praying, where we're doing good works, where we're seeking God, we're devoting a lot of time and energy to the relationships. And then we feel like we're in a good place, and then we start to let it slide. Oh, I don't need to study the word today. I'm going to skip prayer this morning. I'm busy. We start putting other things in place of it. And what happens is our relationship with God, while it can be maintained for what work we put into it for a while, it is actually sliding down because you're not making the connections. God is worthy of our worship and our praise every day. And this is part of the building process that comes so that we're not a destroyer of our relationship with Him or a destroyer of our own lives. God wants us to be working on a relationship with Him. Notice in Proverbs 10, verse 4, he says this. In Proverbs 10, verse 4, he says, "He who has a slack hand becomes poor, but the hand of the diligent makes rich." In what way, my friends, do you want to be rich? If you could say, what is it that you really want? What would you want the riches to be? You want to be fully in the riches of His grace? Do you want to be in the riches of His mercy? Do you want to be in the riches of His Spirit? Do you want to be in the riches of His Word? Do you want to be in the riches of a good relationship with your husband or your wife? Do you want to be rich in the way that you go to work? Do you want to be rich in your physical health? Do you want to be rich? Well, you tell me how. See, mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually, financially, you can think in all these different aspects of life and the way that you take care of your home, your car, your relationship. All of these things can bring richness to your life and abundance. He's talking about just having, you know, a bunch of money. He's talking about richness in terms of what is really valuable. And what God is desiring for you to do is to look at your life and understand that everything you have is a gift from God. And how do you take care of it? Now, Warren Buffett, one time I heard him talking about this with a group of teenagers. And he said, hey, what if I gave you a car? I gave it to you. It's going to show up in your driveway and it's going to be yours. What would it be? And so the teenager starts saying, oh, this is the car that I want. This is the one that I want. He's like, great. Now, what if I told you that car is yours, you get it for free, but that's the only car you get for the rest of your life. So your Porsche, your Lamborghini, your Hummer, what is it for you, Todd? Toyota, okay. The Toyota, is that a Corolla or? Corolla, okay. So your Toyota Corolla, that's all you get, Todd, for the rest of your life. That's it, that one vehicle. Not another vehicle, no replacement vehicle. It's the only vehicle. How would you take care of that Corolla? Do you think you'd be a little more concerned about the washing and the waxing to protect it, to keep the paint coat good? One thing we don't have to deal with here is rust, but where Todd and I come from, oh man, you have to deal with rust all the time. And I'm talking about the Midwest where rust happens. If you had to take care of that car for the rest of your life, what kind of plan would you have in place? And what he says to them is, he says, well, this already has happened to you because that body you have is the only one you're ever going to get. How are you going to take care of it? What are you going to put in it? What are you going to do with it? But this life that you and I have is more than just our body, isn't it? What are we doing to our heart and our spirit? Sometimes it's easier to take care of our body in the sense that we know that if we go without food and water, we're starving. We're dying. Essentially, we are becoming less and less the longer we go without food and water. But here's the trickier thing. We can get so used to being in this world and eating the junk food it gives to us spiritually, we don't realize how desperately hungry and thirsty we are for God's word and God's spirit. It's easy to fast from the thing that we need the most because the world has offered so much junk food in its place that can never really help, can never really satisfy. What it does is instead of edifying the soul, it basically encourages the flesh, our arrogance, our pride, our lusts, and that energizes and gives us adrenaline for a moment of what the world can offer, but it's all fleeting. I mean, hey, the Wizards won the NBA title this week. Was it the Wizards? Warriors. The Warriors, see? This is how into it I am. That was bad. Okay, it wasn't the Cubs. I do know that. So they did not play basketball, and they'd probably be just as bad at that as they are at baseball. But if we look at that, that provides a lot of energy and excitement and fulfillment, right? There's lots of cheering, and those that are big Warrior fans are very excited about that. And look, if it was the Chicago Bears, I'd probably be excited too. But the point is this, you realize this, and after the Bulls won their 6 NBA championships, you're kind of like, okay, they won number 6. But what's it really mean? It's just all for a moment. It can provide you a little respite or a little entertainment, but it's not really a life. It's just a moment. It's just exciting for a moment. My friends, do you realize when you accept the fact that you were made in the image and likeness of God and that he is deeply concerned about your life and wanting to engage with you, that he's offering you something that will always satisfy, that will never run dry, and that will produce a love, a peace, a joy, and a faithfulness in you that cannot dissipate. Because that's who he is. And the more he lives in us, and his word is in our hearts, and his spirit flows from us in what we do, it doesn't dissipate. It's available all the time. And when we find ourselves struggling for peace, when we find ourselves struggling for the answers, we really need to look and say, what am I doing to cultivate my mind? What am I doing to cultivate my heart? I hear more and more people say, I just don't know what to do. I just don't know what to do. And I feel like in our society, we've lost the ability to think. This is not a new phenomenon, but it feels like it's getting worse and worse. You do realize you can talk to yourself about what you want to think about, right? Do you know that? Do you know you can tell yourself? Here's the way God says it. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. Seek first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, proving what is that good and perfect and acceptable will of God. Ask and it'll be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. And there's so many more I'm not even quoting. There are so many ways that God says, direct yourself. I'm telling you which way to go. Direct yourself onto the right paths. And he's saying, this is the way you can go. Don't be so lazy that you're unwilling to think. Don't be so lazy that you're unwilling to organize your thoughts. You know, sometimes what happens in our lives is we just say, well, it's just the way I feel. It's just the way I am. Well, guess what just the way I am is? The default is decay. The carnal mind is at enmity with God. It's not subject to his law, neither indeed can be. It will always produce the gophers and the weeds in the gardens of our lives because that's what nature does. It goes to disorder. You can't take 1,000 bricks and just throw them up in the air and have a wall. Somebody has to intelligently place the bricks and connect them together to build the wall. This is where you and I come in. God is giving us his word. He's offering us his spirit, but he's saying, you've got to engage. I'm not going to force you to do it. 6 days you must labor and do all your work. Jesus said, I have been working and my Father has been working even until now. They wanted to kill him because he said those words about what he was doing on the Sabbath day and doing the good works. And he was saying, no, my Father's been working and I have been working. And what is the work? That you would believe. That you would believe. And belief, true belief, always comes out in work. Faith without works is dead. If you truly believe, you will change. So if you find in the corners of your mind or in the depths of your heart or even right at the surface, you are out of agreement with the word of God. If God's saying, I've forgiven you your sins, and you say, my sins are too big to be forgiven. If you say, this isn't the way, and God say, no, it is the way. You realize you have power to say, I believe you, God, over me. I accept your will over mine. You shall love the Lord your God. You shall worship him, and him only shall you serve. But we get a choice in that. Will we embrace through a labor of love our God? And will we be about tending and keeping? You know, in Proverbs 20, verse 4, there's the thing about the lazy man. He says, the lazy won't go out because he says, it's winter, it's too cold. I can't go work today because it's cold. Then you go to Proverbs 22, and it says the lazy man's like, he's in his bed, he's like, I can't go out, there's a lion out there. There is a lion out there, I can't go to work. So much of life when it comes to laziness is reinforced by excuses of, it's too cold, my environment's not right, there's a lion in the streets, I'm scared to go. That's why a lot of us don't take steps forward. We're scared. We're scared of failure. We're scared of the temperature. We're scared of being eaten. We're scared of all kinds of things. We make excuses to not actually get out and do something. But realize this, it doesn't happen without movement. Life is a beautiful and glorious thing that God has given to us, and it requires movement in the direction. We must seek first the kingdom of God. We must seek his face. We must worship him. We must set our mind on things above. As he says in Philippians, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. It's an invitation. And he's saying, I'm showing you what it is. Here it is. But you've got to actually do the planting. You've got to actually get engaged with God, or it's all going to go the wrong way for you. You and I are in a battle against nature. So he says, walk in the spirit and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. You have to walk with God. You have to be determined to labor for the best things of life, because that is really how you hold it down. You have to actually go into the garden and pull the weeds, but not just that, plant the right things, put the right nutrients in, nurture it, cultivate it. Your life is a garden of God. Turn with me over to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Your life is a garden of God. It's a building being built. And hopefully today you've been encouraged to think about where repairs need to take place. You're thinking about where this house needs to be built, where this garden needs to be planted, that you're thinking about your life and realizing you have way more power than you think you do to affect change and transformation. The game plan's right here. And God will strengthen your faith. He will give you help. But you've got to take in what he's trying to build and build upon that one foundation that we've all received, the foundation that is laid not on our own selves, but the strongest foundation, which is laid on Jesus Christ, the redemption, the forgiveness that we have in him. But even more than that, the love that he shares with us. It is a love that says, you are valuable to me, and I want you to be building with me that you would be valuable to others, that you would be a blessing to others and a blessing to the Father, that your life was designed to give glory to God. And everything in this world, whether it's Satan, principalities, powers, spiritual wickedness in high places, whether it's our own carnality, our own lust, everything is trying to pull that down so that we won't give glory to God, so we'll give glory to ourselves, so we'll take easier, lazier routes out. And God is saying, no, I want you to bring glory to me. I want you to worship me, because when you do, you will actually be the best version you can be of you. And everything God is doing is trying to create you into this beautiful, glorious image of his son. And he's telling us how to do it, but he's saying, you got to participate with me. One of the most beautiful verses to me in Psalm 110 is that he said that people will come forth voluntarily in the day of your power. We are here coming forth voluntarily. Nobody dragged you here today. It was your choice to be in this room today. And you are here to hear this. That God loves you, that God is building you, that you are his field, that you are his treasure, that you are his inheritance, and everything about your life was meant to be beautified, and he will beautify you. The work that he's begun in you, he will complete it to the day when Jesus Christ returns. Know that you have that promise and that hope, and get on board. Engage. Don't leave it on the table. Don't take it away from him. Give it all to God. Give all to God in the way that you raise your kids. Give all to God in the way that you worship him. Give all to God in the way that you go about your work. He says, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. Put everything you've got into it. Realize that life is a gift. Say yes to God and no to the world. Say yes to God and no to yourself. Say yes to God and watch your life become a most beautiful, flourishing place. And no matter how far you've gone to this day in your life, we can go further. The challenge never ends. We are on a challenge journey through this wilderness until we come to the very promised land when he says, well done, good and faithful servant. And so he says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 5, he says, who is Paul? Who is Apollos? But ministers through whom you've believed as the Lord gave to each one. He said, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So realize you don't have to do the miracle, but you got to plant, you got to water. God does the miracle. He makes the stuff grow, but you've got to put some work into it. So then neither he who plants is anything nor he who waters, but it's God who gives the increase. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. There is a law in society. If you plant 1 acre and you get good conditions and blessing from God, you will have 1 acre of produce. If you plant 2 acres, guess what? You get 2 acres of produce. 3 gives you 3. You have a hand in your own life. How much are you laboring toward this blessing of God? Give him a chance to increase. That's where the labor comes in. For he says, verse 9, we are God's fellow workers. Guys, you are the vineyard. You are where he's working. You are the garden. You're the building he's putting together. You are the temple. You're a holy priesthood being built together stone by stone upon the stone, Jesus. Be a part of it for yourself personally and for the church. Verse 9, we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. According to the grace that was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another builds on it, but let each one take heed how he builds on it. See, this is where we all receive our own judgment. Are we taking of the salvation of God and building on it? Or are we being light about it? Are we being lazy with it? Our lives were meant to be this beautiful creation, but it is a co-work with God. We are his fellow workers. We are his fellow builders. We're working with him. Verse 11, for no other foundation can be laid other than that which is laid, Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it. So, what happens when fire hits precious stones? What happens when it hits strong things, it can survive it. Can pass through. What happens when it hits hay and straw, things that are just completely vain, a waste of time? Just burns it right up. You get nothing left. So that's why you build with better materials, right? I mean, we all learned that, right? The story of the three pigs, right? Right? That was just a huffing and puffing by that wolf. I mean, you learn the story, right? You build with brick, and brick can last. So if anyone builds, he says, each one's work, verse 13, will become clear because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. And my friends, here's the amazing thing. You don't just receive a reward in the kingdom for everlasting. You receive rewards today because of your effort to build things that are valuable. Whether it's in business, whether it's with your home, whether it's with your loved ones, you can work on building things that produce riches and joy and reward even today. And he says in verse 15, but if anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so is through fire. Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. You're his temple. Don't forget who you are, what you're doing here, and that God gave you all these many gifts for you and me to be engaged with him, to tend and keep. God wants to work with us. He wants us to produce fruit that will remain forever. And he is giving us the hope to say, this is the life that I have, and this is the life I want to share with you. So let's think about his heart. Let's think about our lives. Don't leave this sermon without thinking about at least one way, just one way, that you can be mending something in your life by applying God's word with a little intelligent labor. Let's praise him.